I had the privilege last year to meet the co-founder of Awana Ministry. It's a worldwide ministry now, and I think about 100 countries and thousands of churches and multiple thousands of children involved in Awana around the world. And I met him last year and helped him around at the leadership summit. This year he was there, but I never did get to contact him. But it was such a delightful time. Art is his name, and he's 97 years old. He's married to Winnie, and they've been married for 77 years. And he still goes to the work at the office. Now he's down to one day a week now, but give the guy a break, you know. He's 97 years old. I just love being with him because I feel like a kid when I'm around him, you know. It gives me hope of the days ahead, you know. And he's still cranking strong in this Awana that has actually gone worldwide. They're just down the street from Willow Creek, and they actually do the shipping of all of our products. They have become such a large firm that touches just millions of kids over the years. And so I love being around people with vision. I'm so convicted and convinced of this, that God has a vision for Briarcliff. But he also has a vision for my life. But I'm also firmly believing that God has a vision for you. Any of you past 97? There's always something there that God has in store for you. A vision there. So I want this to be a challenge to our church, but also I want it to be something that really is a challenge to you and to me. I've operated for years on the whole concept of from here to there, and we've been introduced again to that in the summit, is that we're right here in our life, but there's a there out there that's a preferable future that God has in mind. And I'm always looking for what that is. I don't want to miss it. I don't want us to miss that. I don't want you to miss that. And I certainly don't want to miss that myself. Because God always has something in store out there beyond where we are now. The first church that I ever pastored was in South Missouri. And I remember I was so, I was excited but scared to death. Because I wasn't sure I could ever, I'd been doing music and youth in the church, and so I wasn't sure if I could really handle that. I talked to my best friend, Bobby Joe Blue, you know, and I said, do you think I can make it? And he said, I don't know. Honest, that's what he said. If you can muster up a couple of messages a week, you might be able to do it. I know, but I was so consoled by that. I went on Wednesday night, because they had Wednesday night service. And I thought, well, I'm just going to go and kind of sit in to kind of see what happens there to get me ready for Sunday. So when I drove up, Brother Tom was sitting on the front step. And I went up there and sat down with him. I was talking to him a little bit about the church, my excitement for the church. And he looked over at me in a little emotional way, and he said, young man, I hope you don't get too discouraged here. And I said, what would that be? All the things that God can do here. And then he got really emotional, tears in his eyes, and he leaned back to look and pointed at the doors, and he said, see those doors? It won't be long until those doors will be closed forever. And why is that? He said, all of us are old, and we're going to be dying off, and when we die, those doors are going to close. I said, oh, Brother Tom, there's a lot of people around here to reach, and there's young students that we can have here, and it'll be just tremendous. And he wasn't convinced any whatsoever. And I went away so uplifted and so thrilled that I could go and be a part of that church. And, you know, it wasn't long until we had young adults coming, and we had students coming, and and I did such a crazy thing. I put a ping pong table in the basement. You would have swore that demons had come in. And they got on me and said, it is so noisy around here, we can hardly stand it now. And then I knew why there wasn't anybody there and how the doors were going to be closed if they stayed with that attitude. But I just thought there is something out there. And Tom could not see that. He just could not see that. I'm firmly convinced that God has something out there for every single one of us. And we can miss it. Do you ever live with regrets? You think you've missed some of the things that God had for you? I think all of us look back and think, you know, I think maybe I missed a turn here that God was whispering. Why is it that we miss God's vision for our life? I think one reason why we miss that vision that He has for us is that it always moves us outside of our comfort zone. I had lunch with some pastors this week and was talking to them about their church, and most of them were struggling. One was talking about the things they were trying to get at the church, and they wanted to relocate and all that. Had great possibilities. And he said, I just have a lot of people there that didn't want to. They just said, we do not want to do anything like that. We just want to stay the way we are. And I said, have you ever heard of Henry Blackaby? He said, yeah. I said, here's what he said one time. He said, you cannot stay the way you are and go with God. So why don't you make a big banner of that, put it up in the front of the church and just leave it there, and every Sunday have them to quote that. You cannot stay the way you are and go with God. And they just say, do you want to stay with God or rot where you are? Well, he just smiled. I don't think he's going to do it, but that's exactly, I think, what I would do, you know, is that you cannot go with God and stay the way you are. But yet there's something about a vision that we don't, you're not going to walk into God's vision without experiencing some discomfort, because it's new. It's going to demand change. I think another reason why that we will sometimes miss the vision that God has for us is a lot bigger than we are. A God vision, any vision that God gives, is much bigger than you and I. And we think, there's no way I can do that. And you are right. I don't know how many times that I've made plans, and I look at those plans and I think, how could that ever happen? I remember presenting to church one time all the plans that we had, and they came back and said, we don't even own the property. I said, not yet. Not yet. I think another reason, we had a speaker at Willow Creek this last year. He's a pastor from Southern California. And he talked about the power of a dumb idea. And I like that, the power of a dumb idea. Many times God's size vision is going to look like a dumb idea. And you know what his text was for that? The little boy that brought the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now that's a dumb idea to feed 5,000. That's just the men and all the women and all the children. But what he did, he took what he had and gave it to Jesus and didn't tell Jesus how to do it from there on. You've got a dumb idea that God begins to give. You say, this has got to be a dumb idea. And you just let that be before the Lord. And don't try to tell Him what to do. And see what He will do with that dumb idea. I've had a lot of dumb ideas. And some of them turned out to be a dumb idea. But some of them was something that was God in it. And it stretched me in that process. So here's what I want us to do this morning. I want us to look at the book of Revelation, chapter 3. And he's talking here. Jesus is, through the apostle John, talking to 7 churches. This one is to Philadelphia. And Philadelphia and it and Smyrna were the only 2 churches that he was addressing that he'd have some criticism and condemnation toward them. He did not toward the people in Philadelphia. He challenges them. And I want to just read this first verse, verse 7. He says, and to the angel of the church. Now, who's the angel of the church? I thought, I cannot resist telling people this. Who is the angel of the church? It was a pastor. Scripturally, I'm the angel around here. Just wanted you to know. So I just thought to drop that in. It has nothing to do with the sermon, but anyway, I just thought it'd be good to drop that. And to the angel of the church, didn't say angels, the angel. Okay. The angel of the church, you got that clear? In Philadelphia, in Briarcliff, the word of the Holy One. I want to stop there. Here's the point that I think we need to make. Before we ever get a clear, compelling vision from God, we got to get a clear vision of God. It doesn't start with you or me. A God-given vision has to be clear on God, understanding God, knowing God. He is, the first word it says, He is holy. He is holy. That means He's totally perfect. He's set aside from all other gods. There's no other God like Him. He is unique of all the gods. And there's a lot of gods, and we have a lot of gods in our life if we don't watch out. And He's the one and only, the holy, the perfect, the one that is beyond any other God. Now hang on to this right here. The church is the body. We are the body of the Holy One, Christ. We are a holy group. We are a holy family. Now, does that mean all of us are perfect in the sense we're talking about? Well, you know better than that. So what does it mean? Just look at this challenge. This is from 1 Peter. Does this not challenge the daylights out of you? And now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. How do you feel about that? You're to be holy, just like God is holy. What in the world does that mean? Okay, holy means unique or set aside, unique from any other. We as a church and we as followers of Christ are to have something unique about us from any other people. There's a lot of great organizations in the world that do a great thing, but the church, let's take Briarcliff right now, Briarcliff is unique, means holy, from any other organization. Why is that? Because we've been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is life-changing. There's no other organization like the church. There's no other body like the church because we've been entrusted with the gospel. And you've heard me say this over and over and over, is that we want to be a bright and shining light because I believe with all that's within me that following Jesus is the best way to live and the only way to die. It's not the easiest way to live, but it is the best way to live. And I assure you, it's the only way to die. If you've got a better plan, then how's that going? Then following Jesus, have you got a better plan? How's that going? And if it's not following Jesus, knowing that's the best way to live and the only way to die, let me check in with you about 5 minutes after you die. How'd that go? How'd that go? So we have been given it. Let me just show you a verse from Daniel that I've been, it's in my journal and I look at it most every morning. This is what makes us unique. Those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky. And those who lead many to righteousness. See, that's our uniqueness. Bringing people to know this righteousness will shine like the stars forever. What we do glorifies God, not us. That sets us apart, unique from any other organization. So before we ever delve into what God might have in store for us and the vision for this church and for this life, we just got to have a vision for God. Not only is He holy, He's the true one. He's the true one. There are so many influences that want to influence our vision for our life. I've gone down that road before. One of the visions I had for my life when I was growing up is I'm going to be a big businessman and I was going to make a lot of money. And then God kind of messed that plan up. And then I thought, well, I'll do music. I hate the idea of preaching. And everybody else did too, if there's going to stand up and preach. And so I thought, I was singing with a group. In fact, Don out here was in our group, and we traveled everywhere. And I thought, this is it. This is it. And I'll sing, and I'll do worship, and I'll, you know, all that. That was mainly my idea. That was not God's vision. That's my vision. Then I had a vision of going back down to Springfield, Missouri, and starting a church. And that never did. After about 50 years, that didn't pan out either. And so I have had a lot of visions that were my vision. See, we're not talking about a vision we come up with. You know, that's different than any company. There's a lot of companies in the world that have great visions, but it has nothing to do with God. It doesn't have anything to do with glorifying Him. It doesn't have anything to do with the gospel. It has all to do with them. So just to clarify, you know, what is unique about the vision for Briarcliff and what is unique about the vision for your life and my life is that some way God has entrusted us something much different that will bring honor and glory to Him. The next part of the verse says, He has the key. What's the key represent? The authority to open the door. The key is an authority to open the door. You know, when you come up to a closed door that is locked, then that seems to be an impossible thing. But then somebody comes along with the key and it's a breeze. They just put the key in and turn it. You walk right through the door. And it says here that He is the key. And He opened the door and no one can shut it. So these God-given visions that seem impossible are. Until Jesus comes along with the key. And He'll open all of His vision. But He'll not open all of my visions. But He'll open them. And I can walk through the God-given vision. And He gives us and opens the door. Now, God is not going to come with the key, open the door, and then says, now take a look. You know, I have to, in my heart and soul, I have to say, Lord, I'll be willing to walk through that door, whatever that is. And then He'll let us see more. But He won't let us see much more than just the door. Now, we're facing some times, and we're facing some things in our church right now that are locked doors. And I honestly don't know how they're going to be opened up. I just know the one that has the key. That's all I know. But we'll talk a little bit about that in just a moment. But I want us to go on to this next verse, verse 8. The Lord said to this church in Philadelphia, said, I know your works. And he was really admiring their works. So I found that before you take a good look at the future, it's not bad to take a look at what God has done. That's throughout the Old Testament. People are all the time looking back at the deliverance from Egypt. When they begin to look at what God was going to do, they'd always remind themselves, look what God has done. Look what God has done. So I thought it'd be good for us to look what God has done in Briarcliff in just a few short months. For example, we started off in the village in this little storefront. And you'll see the signs setting out. We could only have those signs out on Sunday because there's an ordinance there that no church can be in that area. And they were gracious enough to let us be an underground church. And so we'd come in there. We couldn't put a sign up until on Sunday. And then people would come and we'd have to take our sign back down, fold everything up. And you go inside this wonderful, huge auditorium that we had of just a few chairs there. And that was it. We were there about 3 months and outgrew that. And it was, okay, now what are we going to do now? And then we found this place here. And so we came in here and it's so beautiful. All the walls were white and the ceiling was white. And we had nothing to put in here. And so we come in, all the volunteers, we gathered together and we painted this thing out and did electrical work and brought in furniture and all that. And we were off and running. I think we had about 65 people there the first Sunday. And then it wasn't long after that, I think the first Easter, getting ready for the first Easter, then we thought, okay, we're going to probably need to start two services. And so that's what we planned for coming the Easter. And so I think a week before Easter or something like that, we started with two services and been two services ever since then. Now, what are we going to do next? And I think we're headed toward three services. Now, I don't know how soon. But that's going to be, that's probably, we got 1 year, a little over 1 year left on our lease here. And if the trend continues on the way it has, there's no way that we can facilitate everybody in here in two services. So we will probably have to look at three services. And we've had so many ministries started. We didn't have anything for children. We've started that. We didn't have Awana and started that. We didn't have any students ministry because we didn't have any students. And we've started that. We have a great ministry going on right now with the City Union Mission and great teams of people going there and great leadership in that. We got one of the most fantastic worship teams you'll find anywhere in this area that God has blessed us with. We packed 300 shoeboxes last year. We're in the process of packing 1,000 this year. We had a dance camp couple of times last year. We'll continue on with that dance camp and just kids coming in. And we did a marvelous thing at Briarcliff Elementary School this I think it's this last week, wasn't it, Holly? This last Monday or Wednesday? It was Wednesday, wasn't it? Holly and a team of people put together just a wonderful thing, and you had to start it off with a kind of an ice cream party and gave out coupons or gift certificates. For a lot of kids that do not have adequate shoes to start school. And so those families came and gave those shoe coupons out or certificates, and they'll go pick up and buy their brand new shoes. And so we're building a great relationship there. Briarcliff Village has been so good to us that we can go and do about anything we want to in Briarcliff Village. We just finished up. This is so fun, but they wanted us to come out and help with dog days. Dog days? And so we had a team of people go over there and worked on dog days. I got an email from Diane said, doggone, we had dog days yesterday. We made a lot of contact. All these are building relationships in our community because we are a holy body of Christ with the gospel that we want them to know Jesus because following Jesus is the best way to live and the only way to die. So we always got to think beyond just the tasks that we're doing and what we're trying to get developed there. So what's coming down the pike? What's beyond that door? What's beyond that door? I want you to look at this next part of this scripture. I have set before you an open door. What do you think that looks like? What do you think that God has in store there? Well, first of all, I know this. we're going to need more space. We really would like to get all of our ministry so that we're not spread out everywhere. Wednesday night, we use elementary school for Awana and our children's ministry is up this way, if you can find it. It's a good facility, but it's just, and it works fine on a day like this, but when it's a really, really cold, and trying to get out there and walk up there and all that. And so we'd like to get everything under one roof, and we'd like to be able to maintain a couple of worship services, but I don't know about that. But so we've looked at a number of places. Over down the road, there's an industrial park, and they said, no, we will not lease to a church. Briarcliff Village has a lot that's right across from where we did the Easter egg hunt and the lake there. Be a gorgeous place, and it's in the ordinance. It's for an office and or an apartment, but not a church, and so, no, we can't buy that. We've looked at some other places, and so far, all we have looked at is locked doors. So that's the reason why this prayer retreat that we're going to be talking about is so very important, because the only way I know to open locked doors is just pray. Just pray. And ask God, is this something that you're in? Because we don't want to go through that door if you're not in it. But we want to go through that door if you open it up, wherever that is. We do not know yet where that is. We're still looking. By the way, you will not tell anybody this, will you? This is between us right here. We'll be going to Midwestern Seminary for our prayer retreat. We're going to go to the retreat center part on the north part of the campus. I was there again this week. A good part of it is empty. And I could hear it crying out, Briarcliff, come, Briarcliff. But I haven't gotten anybody at Midwestern to hear that voice yet. But so when we're meeting there to pray, I don't know where we'll go. I don't know if that may be a dumb idea Vernon has. Or God. I don't know. But God is right now holding us in suspense of where that's going to be. But it's going to be all right wherever we land. A lot of good things, I think, will come down the pike. The vision for our young family group, and you'll be gearing back up, and Timothy and Mike lead that, and so they'll be getting in gear in September. That is a tremendous group. So all of you that have young families, have children, they have a lunch right after the worship service, and it's just a great time. Then young adults, Charlene and I will continue to host that group on Sunday afternoon. And we enjoy that group more than you can ever imagine. They're just a wonderful, wonderful group. In fact, we're all going to the lake this week, and we're praying for no concussions. And parents are probably praying the same thing. But we're going to take off and go down there, and it will be just a great time of fellowship together. And then college, Luke has started a college group, and I'm excited about seeing what we're going to be able to do. We'll be going up to Maplewood at a welcome time just to meet students and hopefully make some connections there. But I'm eager to see what God will do in the college group this year. Now, for some things that are new, when we get into this Philippians study, I'm hoping it'll open up my vision, and you can call it a dumb idea if you want. My vision is that every one of you are in a group in the study of Philippians. And some of you are saying right now, that's a dumb idea, Vernon. But I would like for you to try that. I'd like for you to be in one of our groups. We'll be introducing more of that. We'll be presenting the message on Sunday, and then Timothy's writing curriculum that you will discuss in that small group, and it will be a life-changing. You think about the number of verses from Philippians that are some of your favorite verses. When you read through it, you'll find some of my favorite verses in the Bible are in Philippians. They're life-changing verses, and we'll anchor in on those. And so I want you to be a part. So I just have a great vision for what's going to happen there. We've been trying to figure out this international thing, and I've been working with Carla for a little bit on what we're going to do on that. We've been thinking a little bit about El Salvador, but one of the places we'd talked about going there, the people said that we would suggest you not come right now because it's a very dangerous area. So we also have the possibility of going to Nicaragua. Have a good friend. He's the chairman of the International Vision Board. And they have a school there, and they have about 65 that just graduated from it. We're able there to go in and do a lot of things in the church and helping the churches grow stronger and be a part of that school, and there'll be a lot of ways in which you'll be able to do that. That would become next year, and I forget there's some dates on that. We'll roll those out a little bit later on. The thing you need to be doing now is kind of saving up your cash to take the trip, and we'll try to make that as economical as possible to go to Nicaragua, and we can make a tremendous difference. Now, let me roll out one other thing, is that we already have the leadership summit in Nicaragua, but we're looking at opening up some more areas in Nicaragua. You cannot believe how pastors and church leaders will make great sacrifices because they just simply don't have any leadership training. And so not only we want to help the church there, but what we can do, but also wanting to bring leadership that's a world class. Right this year, the Leadership Summit will be attended by 250,000 people around the world. It's an enormous, powerful tool, and we want to make that available in Nicaragua also. Then, a little closer to home, we met this week with a lady that heads up Beauty for Ashes. It's a prison ministry, and it's in Lansing, and so we have great visions for Lansing and what we'll be able to do there this next year. So we'll have, Luke is going to bring, we're going to put all the worship team in prison, and hopefully you'll return, but they'll say we'll start in January of doing worship services in Lansing Prison. There are three levels there. There's a lowest level and the medium level and then the maximum. We'll not put you in the maximum. It'll be the other two, but they'll attend. Then, in addition to that, there is a women's facility over on the east side of the state. It has 2,000 women in the prison there. And this will be kind of a mission trip because it takes 3 hours to get there. So that'll be a trip. We won't go there very often. But the ministry there is so established and need other help that they have one wing of the prison dedicated to the work of Beauty for Ashes, the teaching of God's Word, the gospel in the prison there. Now let me take you back to Lansing for just a moment. We're also working on getting the Leadership Summit in the Lansing prison and the women's prison. We already are in prisons like, I think it's Angola. Yeah. Did you realize that they're in that prison, that they are, there's a seminary inside the prison, and many of the prisoners will graduate as a seminary graduate? And if and when they get out, they will get out as a seminary graduate. Do you realize that since we've been in there working with the Leadership Summit, that the crime rate within the prison and the violence within the prison has dropped 80%? Life changes are happening in prison. And we have an opportunity to do something incredible. I would call it a holy work of a holy God. And so we can make a difference in people's lives. And there'll be a way for you to go. There's Gene was telling me that there's all kinds of ways you can teach. You know, if some of you are artists, if some of you are musicians, some of you are teachers, whatever, there's all kinds of ways that you can go in and teach in the to these people that are that they've made some huge mistakes in their life, but many are open to making some changes in their life. And then we're going to continue on. We gave out about 150 Thanksgiving meals with frozen turkeys and all that last year, and we're going to try to double that into 100 this year. We'll give those out at Thanksgiving time. We'll continue on with the Fall Festival around Halloween. That went tremendous last year, and so we'll do that again. We're getting ready to roll out a new web page and a new website. And most people that come to our church for the first time make a visit to the web before they come. And so that's just something that's it's absolutely necessary that we get that up and very the best that we possibly can. And it's going to be, we're going to have a name change. We've got a new logo coming and a name change. It's going to be Briarcliff Church. After 2 years, we're going to become a church. No, we will be Briarcliff Church, a new logo. And so anyway, just get ready. That's I don't know exactly when we're going to be rolling that out, but that's coming soon. One other thing that may sound like a dumb idea to you, it's really Timothy's idea, but and that's the residency program. I don't know when and how, but I do know what, that the vision is to bring on a resident that is a seminary graduate. It's not an internship program. This is a seminary graduate. When they get out of school, they come and serve a 1 or 2 year residency here. And then we see Briarcliff multiplying in the days ahead. It'll be Briarcliff here and Briarcliff there and Briarcliff over there. But we need to be training the people that can do that. That means a lot of funds. That means we'd bring on a full-time staff person to join our staff and have 2 years of training and get ready to launch out there. And we'll just keep on doing that over and over and over again. Right now, I don't ever see Briarcliff being a mega church necessarily, but it'll be mega in all kinds of places. Now, that probably seems like a dumb idea. And if it doesn't pan out, then it'll be a dumb idea. If it does pan out, if that's God's open door, we will make a tremendous difference in a lot of people's lives. Let's get down more personal. What's the door look like for your life? Every one of you, there is a door there. Every one of you. And God has something beyond that door. And you can't do as I have done in the past. God, I'd sure like to come and look in it and decide if I want to go through. I've found that I have to say, okay, God, I'm ready to go through that door no matter what. And it's amazing what happens when you're ready to say, okay. When I first talked to them about coming to Briarcliff, I thought, I don't want to go through that door. There's a lot of doors that look a whole lot better to me. I was at Willow Creek. That looked like a good door. There's all kinds of things opening up to me there. And I looked at this and I thought, okay, God, I have no idea where this may be the biggest mistake I've ever made in all my life. But I'm going to go through that door. And God is blessed. He'll do that for you also. God has a door for you to walk through. I don't know what it looks like. It's kind of an exciting journey. Now look at the last part of this verse. It says, you know you that you have but little power. And I'd say, I know that. You have but little power. See, a God-sized vision is always going to be bigger than you. It's going to scare the tar out of you because it's bigger than you are. That's the reason why we're having a prayer retreat, because the only one that can open that door is Jesus that has the key. And He wants to be glorified when we go through it. And it says here, you have kept My word. And that's what I want to hear from Jesus, don't you? I want to hear Jesus say, faithful, you have kept My word. You have been faithful. You have been faithful. Here's what I know about vision, is you never drift through that door. You never drift into a vision. It will cost you something. Many will never go through the door because you're not willing to pay the price. One thing, it'll cost you your schedule. You say, I'm too busy to do a lot. I know you're too busy. That's the reason why you're going to have to change your schedule and give it over to the Lord. You cannot do more right now than you're doing unless you change your schedule. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to make that change that you so desperately need to make? Room for what God, you cannot stay the way you are. So here's what I'm asking of you. All I want you to do is listen intently to the whisper of God's Spirit. And second, say, I'll follow you, Lord, wherever that is. I'll follow you. I'm going to listen. I will follow you. A song that I've been singing all week long, I want us to sing. And it says, where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Where you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Are you ready to sing that? Let's say it first. This is your vow. Let's say it. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Where you move, I'll move. I will follow you.